Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
As mentioned last week, June is Gay Pride Month. We hear a lot about the LGBTQ crowd this month, but with all the parades, festivals, etc., but the LGBTQ activists are busy all year long. Their tactic is to try to convince Americans they were born that way and they have no choice. That is perfectly normal. One way they do this is to revise history and claim individuals were closeted homosexuals. A couple examples are David and Jonathan, and everyone just knows that Abraham Lincoln was actually gay. This month, the Museum of the American Revolution in Philly will host a launch party for historian Dr. John Gilbert McMurdy's new book, Vicious and Immoral, Homosexuality, the American Revolution, and the Trials of Robert Newburg. And that's the title of the book. I will also throw in here that Dr. McMurdy is an open homosexual. By the way, the title of the Philadelphia Gay News article referring to Dr. McMurdy's book is called, quote, Exploring the Hidden LGBTQ Plus History of the American Revolution, unquote. But we're not here to talk about Englishman Robert Newburg, but another favorite target of the LGBTQ plus revisionists. That's going to be our subject and whatever else comes up as far as revisionist history. My guest today is Karis Coker. She is co-chair of the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee. She's a retired homeschool mom of 10 and also a tour guide for American Liberty Tours in the Philly area. So thanks, Karis, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane, for having me. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate your program and the work that you do very much.
You know, it just grabbed my attention when I was reading my quote-unquote favorite newspaper, Philadelphia Gay News, at the beginning of the month, of course, Gay Pride Month. They had this article about Newburg, who just happened to be an English Army chaplain, even though it's not the topic of today's discussion. He never confessed. He was charged with buggery, which is what back then they used for the term of homosexual activity. But he never confessed to it and never was found guilty of such. But yet, that's something that this open homosexual historian, Dr. McMurdy, is basing his book on. But anyway, so we were going to talk about another prime, during the same time period, American Revolution, there's always prime target, and that is Baron Friedrich von Steuben. Right. Yes. You can say that better than I can. So who was he?
He was the general who Franklin sent over with letters of recommendation, who joined the army during the Valley Forge winter encampment, and you might say whipped the army into shape. Mm-hmm. And he had studied military arts under the King of Prussia. His father had been in the an officer in the King of Prussia's army and brought his son along. Baron von Steuben saw his first battle at the age of 12 and served as a youth alongside his father, and came up in the ranks until he met the disapproval of the King of Prussia's son, which is a key element of the story that we can go into later. But he was at Valley Forge, is renowned for his contributions there. I think it's right that there is a statue there of him overlooking the field where he trained the soldiers. And I have great admiration for him, and I think his character can be entirely redeemed from the rumors of the accusers. Of course, they don't consider it an accusation. They consider it something to glory in.
Right, right. True. They consider it fact and, again, something to, quote unquote, be proud of. Same as with Abraham Lincoln, you know, and David and Jonathan. It's totally absurd
distortion.
What they've done. Yeah, distortion. And it just, to me, they're grasping at straws to try to legitimize and make their lifestyle choice okay in their eyes.
And you know, Diane, I wish there was a way to sue for slander on behalf of deceased persons.
Well, yeah, I call this whole thing, this revisionist history thing, you know, picking on the dead guys who can't defend themselves. That's what I call it, because they can't.
You're right. But I do think there is enough evidence to exonerate John von Steuben from any of the charges, the accusations.
Go ahead.
I was first introduced to this perspective on him at the Museum of the American Revolution,
uh-huh.
and it was rather with a sinking heart that I saw it, and they suggest that it's an open question and very likely an unresolved. That's just in their presentation of him at the museum.
But they threw that out there to put down.
Oh, yes, that's,
yeah.
that's part of their display early on. And there are many wonderful things in that museum to see and behold, but it certainly has. It helps to be advised on certain topics, certain points of view.
Yeah, and that's really almost any historical museum you go to, it's that way. You know, Bill Dennison and I, once when I went to Philadelphia Gay Pride Parade, just to check things out as far as who were sponsoring, who the sponsors were and such, we made a side trip to the, what's that building in back of Independence Hall? Carpenter's Hall.
Yeah,
and I mean that's just all self-guided, and that was to me that was pretty good. I had pictures of banners and such as that were flown in the War for Independence. But as I was going out, and it's so hard to take God out of everything. But when as we were going out, there's a tile in the middle of the floor that has all indications of God in it. So I took a picture of that. So that was really neat to me. Us going into Carpenter's Hall was worth just a picture of that tile in the floor.
Carpenter's Hall is not part of it's privately owned.
Okay.
It is not owned by the federal government. It is still independently owned by the Carpenters Guild.
Okay.
And I've known some really good men who were part of that group who volunteered both there and at Valley Forge Park.
Okay, good.
And
but
they
now,
were good men.
But now Valley Forge isn't that part of the National
Park Service.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there was a point of the launch of this whole new agenda. Now, the things that happened that I saw at the Museum of the American Rev, those things took place before the COVID shutdown. And I did, when you come to the end of your visit to the museum, you're walking through a hall and they're telling you, the American Revolutionary War, the American Revolution is not over. It went on and it involved the freeing of the slaves with the Civil War, and then it went to the women's right to vote movement, and then it went into the Civil Rights movement, and today it's still ongoing with the LGBT movement.
You're
and that's
kidding.
The way they wrap it up at the end. And, it was the Reverend Dr. Burke who had the vision and founded Washington Memorial Chapel, who raised the money to purchase Washington's marquee, his tent pavilion, when it was put up for sale by Robert E. Lee's daughter. It was Dr. Burke who saved all of that and did that whole collection that was then owned by the Valley Forge Historical Society and turned it over to the Museum of the American Rev. Mm. That had its beginning at Washington Memorial Chapel, and to see what has become of it is really grievous to me.
It's just,
and sadly, one of the gentlemen that had oversight and influence on it at the chapel continues to have oversight and influence, leading influence there at the museum.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is the new agenda. Mm-hmm. And as a member of the Association of Philadelphia Tour Guides, right after COVID hit and the shutdown took place, I received an email that went out to all the members about a Zoom call, a seminar online, and in reading the description of it, I thought that it was going to be about how the museums and historic sites and organizations could reconnect with their members and clientele after the shutdown was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because, people
the,
make
the
no
2 weeks. Yeah, the 2 weeks to stop the spread, that shutdown, okay.
Yeah, the 2 week shutdown.
Right, yeah, exactly,
so,
yeah.
So I signed up and listened to that seminar, and it turns out the entire thing is summed up in this. They literally said, look, your budget is blown for the year already. So the board of directors is not going to be wondering why. Now is the time to revamp, to redirect, to reconstruct all of your exhibits and the whole thrust. And it was to install the entire woke agenda while everything was slow and take care of it.
Oh, wow.
And I was astonished. And that has happened everywhere. I mean, from James Madison's house to Thomas Jefferson's home to Patrick Henry's home to Mount Vernon, the whole thing is redirected. It is so, and at Valley Forge, I regret to say,
even
as
even
well.
Even Mount Vernon, I thought that was still in Washington's. Yeah, is that still in Washington's family?
I'm talking, it is. It's not in his family. No, okay. It's owned by the Ladies of Mount Vernon Association.
Okay.
But Mount Vernon Ladies Association, right. I think it is.
Yeah.
It's private owned, but both private and government owned parks. This has been their lead during that shutdown. And so when they have reopened to the public, they have a different tale to tell.
Oh, my goodness.
And I won't call the specific name, but to some organizations, it's like the understory, the backstory has overtaken the primary story.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was because of the primary individual or individuals associated with those locations that it was even preserved.
Right.
And there is a story behind them of support and maintenance and so forth, but that's not the lead story.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so this has happened by design.
Oh, yeah.
This has happened by design.
So do those private historic sites, do they get government money? Do you know, like grants?
I think it's through, they may get limited government money,
right.
More than others, but some of them are very private, but I do believe it's chief donors.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to stay a current with the audience, this is what people are expecting, and so therefore that's what we, if we want to stay relevant, this is what we have to do.
Oh my goodness.
They've been sold a bill of goods. It's
yes.
about as helpful as the COVID vaccine was.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, right in the crosshairs, I didn't know about all those other, of course, definitely they use COVID, the cover of COVID to do lots of things. I mean, even up here,
mm-hmm.
we see a whole lot more security cameras, traffic light cameras, all sorts of snooping cameras were installed during the shutdown, COVID shutdown. It was astounding.
COVID was cover
for
a massive shift on many fronts.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you were speaking there at the beginning from the book that has been discussed
right.
at the Museum of the American Rev. And Washington, he wrote entirely against homosexuality. And I am astonished. I was trying to find the exact quote of his writings on that occasion, when that matter came up at Valley Forge. And in no way did he condone it. But I'm seeing articles even back to 2011 where people are trying to say that Washington was trying to be easy on it and that, you know, he was trying to sort of soft pedal the event and what happened and so forth. And that is so not true.
Absolutely.
That is so not true.
All 13 colonies had laws against homosexuality, all 13.
It was called Crimes Against Nature
yeah.
and even quoted in court cases up into the 1990s
as
Crimes Against Nature.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I'd like to go back, if we can, to von Steuben.
Yes, absolutely.
Because this is
yeah.
their big story.
Yeah.
And there were two young men who were, you know, he didn't speak English. He probably learned some along the way. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
But it's known and an acknowledged fact that he was not well in managing money.
Okay.
And so, but these two young men who were officers that Washington had provided for his assistance, they became very close friends to him. Both of them went on to marry and have families and after the war and so forth. But because of their kindness and their continued regard visiting him and helping him out of difficult financial situations and helping him when he was between a rock and a hard place
mm-hmm.
in different circumstances, they have been accused of having been, these are the two men that are supposed to have been his paramours.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them has reported, and well, I need to go back to, as a young man, as I said earlier, he saw his first battle at 12 years old. His father was a well-respected officer in the King of Prussia's army. And then the King of Prussia's son had his own unit. And it turns out that he was known to have an eye for especially handsome and capable young men, and he would invite them into his own personal unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he set his eye on Baron von Steuben, who wasn't an
just
officer
a kid, right.
of high rank at that point.
Right.
And he was only in that unit a short time to where he was dismissed.
Mm.
And ever after, I believe that it was his refusal for
mm-hmm.
the advances of the Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Prussia, excuse me. The name fits, though. The
right.
Prince
exactly.
of Prussia.
Exactly.
that everywhere he went and would get a job, he went to other countries in Europe even. And that very before long, here came these rumors of and accusations of him being sexually like a pedophile.
Oh, wow.
And so this is what followed him all over Europe. I think Franklin recognized what had happened and saw in him a man capable. And frankly, in the midst of his circumstances, that was a great personal tragedy. But the Lord worked it out for good because of his abilities and all that he had learned. The king of Prussia had the most well-trained army in all of Europe. I mean, he was the army to contend with
right.
at that time.
Yeah.
And so Franklin meets von Steuben, and he's impressed by him, gives him letters, and he comes to America. He had tried multiple living and employment situations, and everywhere he went, those rumors followed him.
Yeah.
So
that's,
he comes to
even,
the New World.
Even before social media. Even before social media. I went to the authoritative Wikipedia article, and it has an entire section talking about von Steuben's quote-unquote homosexuality, i.e. he never married, and it used the word companion several times when referring to his male friends and acquaintances.
Well, that was customary at that time to speak of your associates as companions, not in the way that it's used today as a companion or a partner,
right,
cover for something else.
Yeah, and they talked about a secretary. They used the word secretary coming over when he first came over, and of course, Wikipedia assumed or accused or connected the two as homosexual lovers even at that point. But like you said, he couldn't speak English. He probably needed someone to help him navigate through the whole different culture and everything else. And then it refers to, let me see, it also goes on, it says, von Steuben is believed by some historians to have been openly homosexual by 18th century standards, quote unquote. And that citation refers back to a June 14th, 2018 history.com entry entitled, quote, "The Revolutionary War Hero Who Was Openly Gay," unquote.
He was not openly gay by any stretch of the imagination.
Yep.
Openly? But he wasn't subversively or underhandedly gay either.
Right, exactly.
And here's a telltale event in the matter. And one of his friends, companions, told how that he was with him at an event, and the Baron bent over, and a small miniature portrait medallion fell out of his pocket, and it was a beautiful young woman.
Oh, wow.
And he said that the Baron turned every shade of red, and he hastily picked it up and put it back in his pocket and would not say a word about it.
Mm.
And so I think it's a fair conclusion that that was a young woman that had won his heart, and he had loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And very possibly because of all those evil rumors they could not get married.
Yeah,
I mean, even if she loved him, I'm sure her family would not
permit it. Yeah.
And I think it's an egregious wrong. And there was a historian who spoke at the Valley Forge Speaker Series a few years ago, and he published a book on von Steuben, and he said there was no evidence.
Yeah. But those books are ignored, and still we have this, the Museum of the American Revolution highlighting, Robert Newberg, this new book coming out about him, and also, quote-unquote, highlighting von Steuben's homosexuality, which is all not factual. And they just, as you were saying, they are trying to change the narrative to fit their agenda, which is to push the idea that homosexuality has always been part of American history. It's always been accepted. And it just in recent years that the modern day Americans have, ignored the history of LGBTQ plus individuals who have been an integral part of American history, which is malarkey.
No, now, homosexuality has been part of the human experience since sin entered the world.
Right, yep.
But it has not been, and it has, frankly, it's very accepted in most of the heathen religions of the world, but not in Christianity.
Right.
And it is, when you consider the cultural ramifications and disruptions to lives and hearts that flow from that, even to the individual themselves who are wrapped up in it, who have sought to to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord pronounces that woe on those who hate the good and love the evil.
The evil, you're right.
And there's a woe
on that. Absolutely, there is. And just look at American society today as homosexuality and transgenderism, whatever other ism they can think of, has been pushed upon American society and pushed onto our kids through the public education system, higher education system, and now the historic museums, media, entertainment. I mean, it's being totally been commandeered to push an agenda. So how is the best way for us to fight back against this push? Any ideas?
Well, first of all, to speak the truth about the matter, and I do think that individuals are very mistaken to think that it's loving someone to allow them to delude themselves as to who they are. I mean, are we lovers of truth? And I mean, there was a time when I was growing up, I'm 70, when I was growing up, that persons who wanted to pursue that had to go look and find a place where they could engage in such. Now it's in your face.
Oh,
now
yeah.
you have situations where NPR 15 years ago was interviewing a woman who said that she spoke to third and fourth graders in the public schools. And what I tell them is if you're a girl and you find that you're more comfortable with other girls than you are with boys, well, you're probably a lesbian.
How long ago?
Third and fourth grade. What girl in the third grade doesn't think boys have cooties?
Well, every girl thinks a boy has cooties at that age. And every boy thinks girls have cooties. I mean, that's the way it works. Oh, my goodness.
So what we have is a generation, a vast number of young people who have been intentionally confused and misled about who and what they are and the consequences of that, and lied to about what will fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It is so egregious what is happening to the young people, and things are being discussed with them without their parents' knowledge, like they're allowed to go to school and conceal from their parents that they're cross-dressing, even if they're planning to have surgery.
So,
you can't buy cigarettes till you're 18, but you can have transgender surgery or an abortion.
I thought it was 21. I thought I'd be 21 to buy cigarettes.
Okay. I'm not positive.
I don't smoke, so I'm not positive. But I know you cannot do it at 14, 15, 16. I know you cannot do that.
Right.
And even younger.
Right.
Because they're giving 10-year-olds puberty blockers.
You know what? We are the rights that we have, they claim under the banner of the Bill of Rights that I can do with what I want to. No, our Bill of Rights is rooted in that expression in the Declaration, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. And no legitimate right is at war against the creation that God has put in this world.
Absolutely. And a culture, a society, a nation will pay for turning its back upon God and upon His, you know, the way He created people.
Boys and girls,
it's against nature.
The devil hates God's creation and has hated it from the beginning.
Yep.
And he is using every avenue possible to seek their destruction under the guise of giving them liberty. But it's really because he doesn't care for them.
No.
The devil hates every one of mankind.
Yep, he's out to kill and destroy.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely. So for folks to get a true history of Pennsylvania, of Philadelphia area, how can they do that through the American Liberty Tours?
They can contact me through AmericanLibertyTours@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or they can call me at 610-476-3482.
Okay, that's AmericanLibertyTours@gmail.com.
Yes, or they can check the website, AmericanLibertyTours.com.
Okay, or they can call you at 610-476-3482.
Yes.
Appreciate your time. Yes. I mean, you know, we needed to tackle this because it's a big, I mean, homosexual activists are out there every single month of the year. But, of course, the big emphasis is, you know, June is Gay Pride, so-called Gay Pride Month.
It's abominable how they have taken the month that was generally considered the month of wedding, a June bride. I mean, that's classic.
Yep.
And have turned it into this debauch. But on another note, the 14th is Flag Day, and Betsy Ross did make the first flag. And the 15th is the anniversary of the Magna Carta, so it would be good for folks to go back and have a look at the Magna Carta.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that. I read an article recently where they're trying to say Betsy Ross didn't really sew that first flag. Yeah.
I'd be glad to debate that one.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to distort history. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much
All
for
right.
your time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you have a good
God
summer.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. Save our republic.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.